You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Laura Satsui. In early July, our sister station, KQED, reported a huge oil seep in the Cimarrick oil field of western Kern County. At that point, oil had been bubbling up to the surface for more than 2 months, and neither the public nor lawmakers had been notified. In early August, the state announced the seep appeared to have stopped and cleanup efforts had begun. But it turns out that wasn't the end of the story. FM89's Carrie Klein spoke with KQED news editor Ted Goldberg, who originally broke that story about what's new this week.
So, Ted, let's start with the oil seep, or surface expression, as it's called, that set all of this reporting into motion. Can you run through the basics of what you uncovered, you know, earlier in July and, you know, what was happening at this Chevron lease?
So what we understand is that in the Cimarrick oil field, which is about 35 miles west of Bakersfield, the closest town is the town of McKittrick, in May, a surface expression began. That's the term that the industry and that state regulators use for what we would call oil coming up from the ground when it shouldn't. Basically, an oil well in the oil field, the one that we know began in May and that we revealed in July, Chevron crews had decided there was some sort of problem with the well. It was abandoned at that time, and they wanted to basically re-abandon it, which basically means we suspect that the cement that we placed in the well to plug it up might be cracking. We're concerned that there might be some sort of leak, so we'll take the cement out and put in new cement so there's no problem. In the process of doing that, all of a sudden, oil and water started coming up from the ground, and over time, the amount of oil and water increased, and that lasted for about 3 months. Earlier this month was the last time that Chevron reported to state regulators that there was oil and water coming from that particular seep, they also call it, and at last check, it was about 400,000 gallons of crude. And basically, when we started noticing that, we learned that there were new state regulations that were put in place by the state regulatory agency known as Dogger. And this is why we were sort of learning about these surface expressions. They happen from time to time. Usually they're much smaller, but we then learned from the state that there was a much, much bigger one that has been going on for the last 16 years.
That's right. And we'll get to that one in a couple of minutes. And so, as you said, right now, the estimate, you know, for this surface expression that's believed to have stopped, that the estimate is around 400,000 gallons of oil. But that's oil within an oil water mix, right? And it's over a million gallons of actual fluid that have been released. Is that correct?
That's true. The state and Chevron have said the oily water mixture is about 2/3 water, 1/3 crude petroleum.
And then paint a picture. What does this surface expression actually look like? I mean, is it just kind of an uncontrolled spill, just kind of, you know, released across the landscape?
So in these kinds of situations, sometimes there's several, like in the one that we just described before, which they call 1Y, the one that began in May and ended, we believe, in August. There's several different parts of the ground that's kind of look like a sinkhole. When we've seen pictures from above, they look like, you know, darkened areas that have fluid on top of them. In the case of the 1Y thing, there's actually a long spread of what looks like, you know, very dark, tarry black oil that went into a creek bed that has been the focus of a major cleanup effort. You know, basically, Chevron has been sucking up a lot of the oily water mixture into trucks and taking them away to, you know, taking the fluid away to eventually get it separated and then processed like they do normally. And then there's this huge area of the land down there that crude petroleum basically mixed in with the soil. And the operation to conduct that is much more difficult. They actually have halted a significant part of that operation because it's not safe, but eventually they'll haul that soil away to several different locations in the Central Valley to hazardous material dumps. But that project is probably going to last for several months because right now the state says it's not safe to conduct that work. They've got to bring engineers into the area to say, okay, this is all right. In fact, there's, you know, many times the state and Chevron have said these areas are very dangerous.
Wow. And of course, sort of a silver lining here is that this original oil seep, the first one that you reported on, it was within a kind of a dry stream bed, correct? So it was relatively contained. It could have been much, much worse if it were just out in the open landscape.
That's true. And Chevron and the state have emphasized that nobody's been injured, that this doesn't affect groundwater or drinking water. And I think at last count, only one bird had been oiled by the incident. Now, I should say this. Environmentalists have pointed out it's possible that, yeah, right now, maybe this is not affecting any drinking water or drinking supplies. But when there are, over the winter, sometimes, you know, if there's a huge rainstorm, this is a creek bed. It could, you know, push oil into areas that it's not in now. So there are some future concerns that environmentalists have that, you know, this is not over. This may be a problem in the future.
Right. And then, of course, as you alluded to earlier, you stumbled upon a older, much bigger surface expression that's also been happening in the Cimarron oil field. Tell us about that and how you came across it.
So we learned of these, I believe, because of new state regulations that require companies like Chevron to report them to the state. So I have been asking DOGGR, the state agency that regulates much of the oil and gas industry in California, please tell me when there is a new notice of violation. You guys have said that you've got these new guidelines, these new rules. You know, if there's a violation, I want to know about it. So about a week ago, I got some information from DOGGR that they had issued two more notices of violation against Chevron. Now, a few months ago, they issued two what they call NOVs against Chevron for the 1Y incident, the incident that we were speaking about before. All of a sudden, I'm looking at this notice of violation, and I'm seeing that it goes back a long time, back to 2003, and that this surface expression in the same oil field has been a significant problem for a significant amount of time, and it's been flowing at different rates. Sometimes it would be gushing out oil. Sometimes it would, you know, be sending out fluid just a little bit or not at all. And because it re-erupted, so to speak, after the new rules went into effect, DOGGR said, okay, you know, you guys are not supposed to have these kinds of leaks known as surface expressions. We're going to hit you with a notice of violation. They also, in that same time period, issued a new notice of violation against Chevron for yet a new surface expression that began in the last 2 weeks. Now, these kinds of things have happened in the past. Chevron made state regulators aware of these expressions, these releases before. The issue now is they've got new regulations, so they're responding in a different way, and that's why we're learning about them.
And what have been the consequences for Chevron so far for all of these?
Well, they've got some orders they're supposed to abide by. They are required to stop the releases to prevent others. Now, when a notice of violation is sent, they don't have a monetary number on them. That's probably something we will learn maybe months, maybe even years from now. This is not the kind of number that we get right away. And I imagine that it won't be a huge financial impact on a multinational company like Chevron. But under regulations, they're supposed to follow orders from DOGGR. And not only are they supposed to stop the expressions, they're supposed to provide root cause analysis information to DOGGR. They're supposed to monitor all the situations and keep the state informed. And on top of that, they're supposed to halt similar operations around these wells that are problematic. So, for instance, in each of these cases, they have been required to turn off, in some cases, turn on wells to relieve or change pressure to try to alleviate what's pushing the oil up from the bottom of the ground, basically.
And then let's talk about root cause here. And so with the 1Y incident, you said there had been some well work on a well nearby, but there's some well stimulation techniques that are similar in the environments of all of these surface expressions, right, in this oil field. And what's maybe being spoken about more and more as being an underlying cause for all of this?
Well, you know, this is an issue that has not been fully explained yet. The cause of the major 50 million gallon crude oil spill that is the focus of our most recent reporting, we have not learned the cause of that. Now, this is triggered by a steam injection. When steam is pushed into the ground, it loosens up oil, or I should say crude, that is very thick and very sticky, and it helps it come up to the surface of the ground. Now, a lot of these operations are hundreds, thousands of, you know, at least 1,000 feet under the ground. And so this helps the oil rise to the top. In some cases, they're saying that that operation has an effect on creating the surface expressions. How exactly they have not explained, or I don't know quite yet.
Got it. Okay. Well, I look forward to hearing more about this later. Ted Goldberg is a news editor with KQED. Ted, thanks so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you.